open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. Go, keep going left. Is that right? Let's just begin with prayer right away. Holy Father, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness. Father, we present ourselves to you right now as living sacrifices. And may we be holy and acceptable to you by the choices we make and the things that we do. I pray, Father, as we submit ourselves to you, we submit our education to you, our schooling. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to what your word says. You would open our hearts to the Holy Spirit and to know your voice. Father, use our lives to magnify your name to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, the interesting about Proverbs, we've been going through this series, gosh, for about 15 or 16 weeks already. And so I think it's about our 15th or 16th study. And Proverbs is a word picture. It's like intense light. And as I said before, it's meant to engage your heart. It's meant to make you think, to think about what it said and, oh, what does that mean? And you know, sometimes it may not make sense right off, but that's the idea. It's for you to engage your mind to think about what's being said. Also about Proverbs, it's practical truth for daily life. God is interested in your daily life. God gives us wisdom and insight how to hold a job, how to get along with your neighbors, how to speak, how to conduct your whole life. You know, the idea is not meant to just be this theoretical thing, you know, in church and, you know, it's just church and it's just spiritual. But God wants to take the spiritual and train your heart and you walk it out in your life. And so this morning we're going down to the schoolyard and into the classroom with a study, how to be a good student. Isn't that kind of cool? You get to learn how to be a good student in church. And I'm going to give you some practical tips how to be a good student. And we'll see some of these truths fleshed out in our text. And may I say first, guys, your education is important. It's important to you, and above all, it's important to God. God has placed you in a culture where education is important. God has placed you in a country where your education is paid by we the people, by the citizens of this country. And so not everybody has that privilege. And so your education is important. And, you know, we all need some kind of training. You know, I hope all of you have plans to go to college. But, you know, some of you may not be a college-oriented person, but you could be trained in a skill. That's important, to learn a trade where you don't necessarily have to go to college to learn. But you know what? You got to be able to know the three R's, right? Do you guys remember what the three R's are? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. You know, if you're a mechanic, you know, think, man, I love cars, you know, I like tinkering with them. You know, today's cars have become so sophisticated, they have these little computer systems, and you got to be able to learn to read an operating manual. Or, yes, sir? Math. Okay. Yes, sir.
You know writing is spelled with a W?
Yes, I know, but it has an R sound. That's good. See, you're smart. And arithmetic begins with the letter A. But they call it the three R's because it has that R sound, okay? And so, excuse me? The three R's? So, You know, I encourage you, do well in your school, learn a trade, or go to college. It's important for you in your future to have a trade, to be able to do something. And it's important because you know what? God wants to use that so that you can go out and help build the kingdom of God wherever he places you. You know, it's important, you know, like you think, well, my mom's a stay-at-home mom. Well, that's important because someday she may have to homeschool her kid. And she's got to have a good foundation, right? Very important. Your education is important to God. And God will bless these things in the future. And now, also let me encourage you, if you're not a good student now, that's okay. You can always change. You could become a better student. You know, and let's take it for the true reality. Some kids are just really smart and they can pick up things. And other kids are like me. I have to work really hard. I have to work hard, very hard. And that takes discipline. And that's part of education. And, you know, I wasn't a good student when I was your age, to be quite honest with you. I wasn't a good student. But when God grabbed a hold of my life, things changed. And now, God has your life right now, and he can take what you have, and you can team up with God and say, God, help me. I'm going to apply myself to the reading and what is required of me, and you do the rest. And whether you get a C or an A, it doesn't matter. You're working with God, and he's training you in the things that you need to learn for your schooling. So we're going to have an outline this morning. First, it goes, a beautiful mind begins at home. And secondly, we're going to look at strength of mind is increased at home. And finally, friendships should be home approved. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. Let's read together. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is, what does it say? The Bible is very direct. And now, first of all, our parents are our first teachers. You've been going to school since the day you were born. That first day, you're going to school. Your parents are your first teachers. They taught you how to talk. They taught you how to walk. They taught you how to eat. I know they did because I don't see any fork scars around your head. They taught you basic skills. You've learned those things at home. Also, your parents will be your most enduring teachers. Meaning, what I mean by that is they will be your teachers for a long, long time. And hopefully, your parents will be a teacher, still your teachers until you grow up. You could still learn from your parents, from their wisdom, from their experiences. And so, they're in it for the long haul. And so, your education begins at home. Your manners are taught at home, aren't they? You know, they have character counts at the public schools, and I think that's awesome. But, you know, those character qualities ought to come. They should be in you as you walk into the schoolyard because you learned them at home. Listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. Notice how Solomon's direct approach to his son. Remember, Proverbs is a book that was written for his son to instruct him in wisdom because his son is going to be the king, the next king, and he needs wisdom. And Solomon is saying, I'm teaching you the things my father taught me. And he says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. You know, how many of us sometimes when we're corrected, we don't like it? I've been there. And we're acting stupid. God says so. Now, he doesn't mean in a derogatory manner. He wants you to grow to be wise. You know, God loves us and he wants us to grow to be wise children. In this case, Solomon is talking about spiritual instruction related to true knowledge, the truth of God. The one who hates correction or instruction is not very wise. You know, when we make in the Bible, wisdom is talking about making good moral choices. And when we make bad moral choices, we're destroying our life. We're living less than what we can be. And, you know, I mean, you could fill in the blank. It could be drugs. It could be hanging out with the wrong people who bring you down. It could be just being disobedient to your parents. Not good choices. Not wise. And when your parents correct you, instead of getting upset and moping, and, you know, we've all done that. I was a kid, too. I can't do anything right. You know, and you mope. You know, receive it and learn from it. Receive it and learn from it. And so, but the goal of your parents or your teachers correcting you is so that you can grow, to get right, to think properly. That's the goal. You know, when you get a test back at school and you don't, and you go, oh, I miss that, and throw up your arms and get all discouraged. Learn from what you get wrong. Try to figure out what you did wrong. And, you know, and that comes by asking questions, by studying. Hang in there, fellas. I know you're tired. The lock-in. So, also realize you may think, because you're getting to be in your teenage years, that your parents don't understand. You know, the truth of the matter is they probably understand more than you realize. You know why? What? They've been there. Absolutely. They were a teenager too. And they were as smart as you at one time. You know, we were there. Yes, sir. Absolutely. The same temptations that you have, we've encountered it. You know, I wasn't born under a rock. You know? But trust their experience. You know, we've made mistakes. As parents, we're going to make mistakes. And when you're a parent, you're going to make mistakes. But, you know, the beauty is, the goal is to learn from our mistakes. You can learn from mistakes of others. I'm not a firm believer that you have to learn everything on your own. If, you know, for example, in my life, my brothers have made some mistakes. And as a kid, I learned, like, I'm not going to do that. You know, I have a brother who told my dad, he says, I have to learn for myself. I have to experience it. That's foolishness. I don't need to touch a fire to realize it's hot. Sorry. You know, hello. That's foolishness. Learn from the mistakes of others. Learn from, you know, be an observer of people and the choices they make, and you think, oh man, that's not good. You know, when I was in junior high, I known kids who started doing drugs. You know, they invited me, hey, you want to go smoke pot on the football field? I don't think so. But what's the result of their life? Well, I had one friend who smacked right into a bus. He's dead. You know, another person who he did drugs and it messed up his mind big time. You know, he's institutionalized. Not a good thing. So learn from the mistakes. Trust your parents' judgment. And when you do that, do it by faith. Do it by faith. Because, you know, God has placed your parents as the authority in your life. And as Pastor Skip said it last week. If you can't trust the authority of your parents or obey your parents, how are you going to obey God when you can't even see him? You can't. And so, how does this all relate to our overall education? Well, if we learn from the teaching of our parents, we could take these skills into the classroom, into the workplace. You know, if you learn responsibility at home, you're going to take that into your school. You're going to take that responsible attitude when you get a job. You learn a lot of basic skills at home. If you can learn to do things without being told, man, you're going to impress somebody someday. So take these skills into the classroom. Now let's get practical. We said that our first teachers are parents, and let's talk about teachers are abroad. You know, I already stated that education is important to your well-being in the future, but let's get some practical tips of being a good student. First thing that you do with your education is submit it to God. And you go, what do you mean by that, submit it? Begin your school day in prayer. That alarm goes off, or however you wake up, those few minutes before you get out of bed, if you have to lay in bed, start praying. Pray for your teachers, pray for your parents, pray for the things that you are learning. Submit it to God. Also, submit your mind to the Word of God. And what I mean by that is read your Bibles. See, the goal of God is to transform the way you think. Really, God wants to brainwash you. He wants to wash your brain with His holy word. He wants you to be able to know truth from untruth, from light and dark. God wants to do that. And the truth of the matter is, as you get older, you're going to learn a lot of stuff that is not of God. And you got to be able to say, that's not of the God. That's not what God wants me to think. And especially when you get into college. You go to college, you're going to take some English classes, and you're going to have to read essays, and every professor will throw something, an atheist by the name of Bertrand Russell, why I'm not a Christian. And you're going to hear that, and you're going to read stuff that glorifies homosexuality. You got to be able to know why you believe what you believe. You need to be able to filter these things that you learn through God's truth. And it begins at the home. It begins the moment you wake, start praying. Read your Bible. If you have to eat your cereal and read your Bible, then eat your cereal and read your Bible. It's part of your daily bread anyway. You know, give it to God. Allow God to transform your mind. Listen to Bible studies. You know, most people have iPods now. You know, you can download a study. Did you know in that big room over there, we probably have, well, I know we do. We're blessed with one of the finest Bible teachers in the country and in the world. You can get all his studies and go through the Bible. And you know the cool thing about iPods and stuff like that? You could play it again and play it again and play it again until you get it in your mind. And they say, well, what's the book of Proverbs about? And you already know. You have the big picture of what the book is about. And so when you get into the forest of the word, it helps you understand it. And so submit your mind to God. Also, pray with your family before you leave for school. I hope you do that now. And you know, and if you don't, you know, encourage your parents to pray with you. You know, my daughters freak out if they go to school and we don't pray with them. I mean, it's still now. We'll go, just go to bed. Yeah, we're just kidding around with them. And it's, just go to bed. And, you know, and they'll get in bed and we haven't prayed. You know, it's part of their routine since they were born that they're prayed for before they go to sleep and before they go to school. You know, pray with your family. And that helps bring you close, too. It brings a closeness. Also, those are, you know, some practical things, and we'll give some more practical stuff. Let's look at the strength of mind begins at home. And here we're going to look at different verses here, and they're not in order, but let's read along. Verse 11, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. Verse 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Verse 27, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is the man's precious possession. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Verse 23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim foolishness. Let's look at verse 11. What do you think verse 11 is saying? He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. Think about that. Well, first of all, Solomon, and at that time, is talking about a farmer. Why is it important that a farmer be disciplined? Why do you think it'd be important for a farmer to be disciplined? Think about, you lived 2,000 years ago. There's no Walmart, no Sam's Club, no Costco. Yes, sir. Why would that be important? And why is that important? Exactly. See, they had to plant food for the winter. You know, like, you know, squirrels gather nuts for the winter. Well, back then, humans did the same thing. They had to grow food. And if you're a lazy dude, is your family going to have food for the winter? No. He says, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, with his hard work. And the same thing with your education. How many feel pretty awesome when you do well on a test? We all do. Are you satisfied? You're just like that man. You tilled the land. You opened up your book. Your mind is like a garden. You know, you got to pour the seeds and you got to water it. And you got to make it grow. And when you do well, you're like, man, I did all right. You feel good about it. But it says, but he who follows frivolity, one who's not serious, one who's kind of lazy, one who's more interested in having a good time, is devoid or is missing understanding. You know, I know we all like to have a good time, and you know, I'm the chief of that. When I was younger, I was that guy in the second half. I was devoid of understanding. And, you know, now I'm trying to get my degree and I'm in my 40s and it's like, it's hard because I got to work 40 hours. I got a job, you know, I'm married, I got two kids and trying to get all that stuff. And so consequently, I have a lot of late nights with books and I'm tired, but I have to balance everything out and it's difficult. But you're young. You can get it done early. And I encourage you to do it early. And so being a good student comes from being disciplined and responsible at home. And as I said, our home life is our training ground for being a good student and also being a good employee at home, at work. Let's look at some benefits. Being disciplined, he talks about the hand of the diligent will rule, the lazy man be forced labor. But let me give you the benefit of hard, we already said that. Some benefits for school, how to be a good student. Another way of being a good student begins with getting a good night's rest. Huh? Did you know that kids with higher IQs or who do well in school get plenty of rest? You need your rest. And, you know, and I tell you, my wife, she is she's a teacher, and man, our kids have to be in bed early. I mean, if they're not in bed at a certain time, it's things go crazy. I mean, she is so adamant about them getting their rest. And it's true. When you're in school and you're like, oh, I'm falling asleep, and it's hard to concentrate. But also, do you realize they have done studies that if you learn something, that while you're sleeping, your mind is still processing it? They said that's where you learn the stuff and you remember it for a long, long time. You know, there's times that whether I do a study for you guys, I'll do my study and I'm dreaming about it as I'm sleep. You know, of course, you have to be sleeping when you're dreaming. You know, I'm studying, I'm thinking about it, and I'm still grinding it through. And sometimes with my other schoolwork, you know, I go to bed and I'm thinking about it. You know, you need a good night's rest. Also, be disciplined to listen. Sometimes that's really hard, especially a guy like me. I like to talk. But you know what? We got to learn to zip it up and focus and listen. And it's not. It takes discipline. It takes hard work. I didn't say it was easy. And it comes naturally for some. For guys like us, it's hard work. It really is. You know, I have to like, Frank, shut up. Pay attention. Focus, focus. Even as an adult, I have to do that. But be disciplined to listen. And, you know, this begins at home, doesn't it? If you're not a good listener to your parents, you drop some. Oh, I thought it was money. It's going to be much more difficult to listen at school. Also, pay attention to an instruction and do your homework. Do your homework. Turn in your assignments. Get it done right away. Turn it in. Get that stuff done. That's important to being a good student. Do not procrastinate. Quit putting stuff off. Get it done. Get it done. So when you're done, you don't have to worry about it anymore. It's like my daughter, I tell her, you know, they're off a half a day on Wednesdays, and I think on Mondays they're given all their homework for the week. I said, get it done on Wednesday, so when Saturday and Sunday comes, it's not in the middle of the afternoon and we're ragging on you to get your homework done. Get it done. And that way you can do what almost whatever you want to do. It's done. You can enjoy it. Exactly. There you go. I mean, you're disciplined in doing that. You got to go, you know, take advantage of your study halls. If you have study halls or free, you know, and that takes discipline. I mean, it's hard. You know, to me, it's very hard because I'm a very gregarious person. And gregarious means I like hanging out with people, okay? I like people. And, you know, to get away and to go study, oh, man, it's hard, but do it. Study in a quiet environment. Why do you need the quietness? Because it maximizes your concentration. Like, for example, I can do math and stuff with the TV on and all this noise, and it doesn't affect me. But this year, I'm taking chemistry. I'm learning stuff I never learned before, and I can't stand any noise because I'm trying to focus. I'm trying to grasp this new information. And, you know, with some classes or when I'm writing, I need quiet. When I do your Bible studies, I need quiet because I'm trying to maximize my concentration. So study in a quiet environment. When you're learning something new or difficult and you have to read it, put your finger under the sentence and read it kind of aloud. Read it. Put your finger on there, trying to get your focus on what the words are saying. If you got to memorize something, you know, and I don't know about you, I do not like memorizing. But you know how you do get flashcards? I like getting little yellow, index cards. Write it down on there. You write what you got to memorize and look at it every day for about 5-10 minutes. Repeat it out loud. And if you do it every day, especially for preparing for a test, do you think you'll remember it by then? Of course you will. Okay, so understand that. And if you're still having problems understanding, get help. Get help. Ask your teacher, ask your parents, ask a fellow student. Get help. Focus, fellas, focus. Okay. Get help. You know, they said the only stupid question is what? The one not asked. You know, the only stupid question is the one not asked. There's no stupid questions. Like, for example, in my chemistry class, I have a chemistry class on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and man, we're just flying on information. It's like overwhelming. And I asked a question, and my fellow students, I have these two students next to me, and they're like, oh, you asked the question. They didn't understand either. And chances are, if you don't understand, there's probably other people in your class who don't understand either. Yes, sir. What? I'm doing chemistry now. It's college. Yeah. Yeah. Learn it now. It'll be easier when you get to college. Well, try to understand it. It's not easy, but it's cool. But it's cool. You know, think about it, you know, in relation to God. God is marvelous. How he created this world and looking at it through the perspective of chemistry is cool. Okay, so ask those questions. And when you have a test, don't freak out. I had a quiz this week. Oh my gosh, that first question just blew my mind. I mean, I looked at it and I just freaked. I like, what? Huh? Huh? I freaked out. And then I like, okay, let's relax. Let's look for some questions I do understand. Do those first. Get the easy stuff out of the way. Why? First of all, it gives you confidence. You're getting on a roll. And as you're going through the easier stuff, it may remind you of the harder stuff, or doing the easy stuff may give you a key to doing something harder. What's that? Yeah. Oh, I freaked out. And then, you know, what's freaky about tests? In this class, we're so packed together. And you could, out of your corner of your eye, you could see people working. And there was this gal. Man, she's writing. I'm like, she was like jamming. And I'm a slow test taker. And, you know, us slow test takers, well, at least I kind of panic like, man, everybody's so smarter than me. And you just get all. Ugh. And well, she finished the same time as I did. You know, it was probably some stuff that was more difficult for her than for me. But don't panic. Go to the easy stuff, and it may help you with the harder stuff. But, you know, the important thing is you got to know, you got to study, you got to do your homework, do those things so you could be successful in your tests. Okay, let's look at verse 23. We're disciplined at home. Let's have a disciplined heart. Education is great, but there's also another proverb that goes, it's not in verse 23, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. You may be a very smart person, a very good student, but don't become arrogant. That's not a good quality that God wants. you know, I'm so much smarter than that person. That person's stupid, you know, blah, 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 blah. Don't become arrogant. Build up. God wants you to be educated so that you can benefit the life of others. Your job, Christian, is to benefit others. That's why you're here on this earth, to know God and be a blessing to other people. So be disciplined at heart. Verse 23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim foolishness. There is one who speaks like piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promote health. And as I said, it is great if you're smart, but a know-it-all is a pain in the neck. Have you ever been around a person who's a know-it-all? Be wise. Don't be that way. That's foolishness. He says, a prudent man conceals his knowledge. He knows how to use his knowledge to the benefit of others, not to proclaim how brilliant he is or how smart he is, and ends up being arrogant, but knows how to use it. Also notice, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. See, we can use our knowledge like a sword, and we can lop off body parts. But look at the wise person. The tongue of the wise promotes health. If you're bright and you're brilliant, learn how to use your information to promote health, to benefit others, not cut people down. Because you get that sometimes with very smart people. Okay, the third thing, and we'll close up with this. Friendships should be home approved. Look at verse 26. Righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Well, we're going to meet a lot of people in the schoolyard. You're going to meet a lot of kids, different people growing up, but not all of them can be your friend. And I'm talking a friend that is close, who's an influence on you. I don't think this proverb is saying that we should shun relationships because, you know, Jesus says, go out into all the world and share the gospel. Well, not everybody's going to receive you. But we are to be ambassadors of Christ. We are to reach out to those who do not know the Lord. But when it comes to friendships, they should be righteous. You should be like-minded. They should carry the same values that is pretty much close to your home life. Your parents should approve your friends. Last week, Pastor Skip shared about a friend that he grew up with, and his parents did not like him. And he felt real hurt about it and offended by it. How can you not like, I forget his name, let's call him Johnny. Not like Johnny, but it turned out Johnny was a criminal. He ended up being murdered. His parents had discernment about what this person's like. Trust the discernment or the judgment of your parents. You may not like it and it may be uncomfortable, but that's where faith comes in. Trust them that God is speaking through them. Also, light does not have fellowship with darkness. Again, we need to be like-minded in our values. That's why I say, know who the Christians are in your school. Because as a believer, we are to build each other up, to encourage each other towards the Lord, not bring each other down. It's important. Okay, and let's conclude. Being a good student begins at home by learning from your parents and trusting their authority in our lives. Being a good student requires faith by submitting our education to God daily through prayer and Bible reading. It begins after getting a good night's rest. Good students have good rest. Being a good student requires being disciplined and by doing our homework and our assignments. Get it done. Being a good student requires concentration by listening and paying attention. Hello. Pay attention. It requires study time, quiet study time to maximize your concentration. And being a good student requires getting help when you need it. Get help. Ask questions, and finally, remain calm during your tests. Do the easy stuff first. Get to the harder stuff later. And being a good student requires having good friends who have the same like-mindedness as your family. And so I want to give you three things to remember when you go. I know it's a lot of stuff, but three things. Submit your education to God. Pray and read His Word. That's number one. Two, apply yourself to your work. You can't learn if you don't apply yourself. That means doing your homework, doing your assignments. If you have to read, read. Trust your parents' counsel when it comes to school and friends. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, all of us here are students. Help us to be better students to the praise of your glory, that we would use our education and our passions and desires to the praise of your glory and the benefit of others. Father, I ask that you fill these guys with your Holy Spirit, that you bring back to remembrance the things that we talked about this morning. And Lord, I pray by faith they would walk out of here knowing that they have a relationship with you, knowing that they have fellowship with you, and that they would acknowledge your presence throughout this day and this week. We love you and we praise you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, God bless you guys. Have a good week.